Support for the Legislative Gazette comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.
The 2020 New York State legislative session is about to begin. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas has a preview.
A session planned for 57 days through June begins January 8th as Governor Andrew Cuomo gives his State of the State address. Assemblywoman Pat Fahey represents the 109th District. The Albany Democrat says she's looking forward to the session.
Being as aggressive as possible on a number of pieces of legislation, including on the environment. We passed, by all accounts, the most ambitious climate change and climate leadership bill earlier this year. But in order to make those goals that are embedded in that legislation, we really need to be aggressive in terms of the environment, in terms of our transportation and our energy policies.
Senator George Amador is a Republican representing the 46th District. He is leaving office at the end of 2020.
You know, I think this is going to be a very interesting session. I think it's going to be a difficult session. The state faces a $6.2 billion deficit, as well as other issues and I think big reforms that will impact the quality of life or the pocketbook that we have not felt or seen the effects of yet.
Last session, the governor and legislature couldn't agree on a major policy change, fully legalizing marijuana. There were other issues, like e-bikes, that were vetoed by Cuomo. Democratic Assemblyman Angelo Santa Barbara of the 111th District says he's keeping an eye on bills that have been vetoed.
E-bikes, which is something I've supported, you know, anything that where we can cut regulation and support businesses, support communities, and I think the e-bike is just one of a number of bills that are out there, and some of the bills that were approved, I think were helpful, but some of the bills that were vetoed were not. So I'm only keeping a close eye, and I do think we need to revisit a number of issues, whether it's from last legislative session or the session before. There's certainly a number of issues that need further legislation, amendments, and reform, and I plan on bringing those forward.
Fahey intends to keep peddling for e-bike legislation.
I read the governor's veto message. I think we're not that far apart. I know he's got some safety concerns, but I think most of what he's raising can be addressed.
Amador says he'll focus on bills that intend to foster economic opportunity in upstate New York.
How we can reduce the property tax burden on upstate homeowners and residents that has literally just plagued the growth of economic opportunity for upstate New York. When we can reduce the property taxes, we'll have a better opportunity to bring growth into these regions that once had thriving economies. We'll also continue to keep my eye on the efforts that we laid out with making sure that those who are bound by substance use disorder make sure that they have proper treatment and the recovery services.
Legislators also say they'll examine public financing for state elections, regulations involving pension funds, criminal justice reform, and a single-payer health care system. Santa Barbara cited additional health-related issues.
There's a tremendous need for senior care. Nursing homes, funding for nursing homes is something that's surfaced. Is a tremendous need with an aging population. In my district, I'm seeing it, an aging population, tremendous need for elderly care. And the rising cost of prescription drugs. Both of my parents just shared with me how expensive it is for prescription drugs that are needed, that they are struggling with.
Amador and Santa Barbara predict fierce budget debate in what will be a shorter session, owing to the summer and fall election calendar.
You know, making sure, again, the quality of life, the affordability of life, security of life is there for New Yorkers. And, you know, hopefully we can have a legislative session that would be more balanced than that of just one party rule, which we have right now. because we're facing some big issues and big struggles. And, you know, it needs to have a balanced approach and debate to make sure that all regions of the state are represented in the Capitol.
The governor really needs to stop with all the high-cost, big-spending pet projects that we've seen in the past, and really needs to focus on people this year more than ever. But we need to stand firm on no more spending and no new taxes for this upcoming budget period.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
Well, several laws have taken effect as of January 1st in New York, including major changes to the criminal justice system. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt takes a look at what will be different.
New York will end cash bail for everyone accused of a nonviolent crime and adopt new rules in the pretrial discovery process. It would require prosecutors to turn over to defendants all of the evidence that they have against them within 15 days of arrest. Supporters say the current laws have meant that those accused of crimes and who can't make bail spend weeks or even months in jail without learning what evidence a prosecutor has against them until their trial begins. Many end up pleading guilty to lesser charges without knowing if there's evidence that could exonerate them. The bill languished in the legislature for years, but was approved in 2019 when Democrats took over the Senate. Senate Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says the changes are long overdue and will help fix a broken system.
This is something that's been needed to be fixed for such a long time. You know, I bring us back to Kalief Browder.
Browder was 16 when he was accused of stealing a backpack.
Because they didn't have, his family didn't have a few hundred dollars to get him out, he stayed in Rikers Island for 3 years. He was in solitary confinement, and ultimately, after people started realizing his story, he had star power, Jay-Z, other people paying attention to him, he did get out.
But he did not recover from his ordeal.
He was so emotionally damaged that he committed suicide.
There's been backlash to the changes. Law enforcement groups have held press conferences saying they need more funding to hire more staff and update antiquated computers in order to get the evidence to defendants by the 15-day timeline. Schenectady County District Attorney Robert Carney says it's more than just giving defendants and their lawyers a stack of papers. He says police now have massive amounts of video evidence.
We have body cams, we have dash cams, we have surveillance cameras, we have cameras in interview rooms. All of that stuff has to be viewed in real time. So if you have a major incident and 10 police officers show up and they all have body cams and they're there for 3 hours, an assistant DA has to watch all of that in real time to determine its value, its significance in a criminal case. That is far too much data to even load onto a DVD that we could then copy and share with the defense.
Others, including the head of the state's Republican Party, Nick Langworthy, worry that ending bail will result in what they call a catch-and-release policy. Their concern is that dangerous criminals or people with untreated mental health or substance abuse issues could walk free.
And most New Yorkers aren't going to know a damn thing about this until it becomes law on January 1st, when jail doors are open and the jails are emptying.
Supporters of the law, including Khalil Cumberbatch with the advocacy group New Yorkers United for Justice, says eliminating most forms of cash bail will actually make communities safer.
Most people who return to their community after exiting the criminal justice system will not actually go on to be threats to public safety. They are people who are family members, mothers, fathers, so on and so forth.
And he says other states, including Republican-dominated Texas, have enacted similar reforms with no significant negative consequences. There are no plans to significantly change the new laws right now. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who signed the bills into law, has not advocated any rollbacks. Senator Stewart-Cousins says she's open to trying to find more funding for the district attorneys, but she says the changes are going to save money.
And by the way, holding people who are accused of nonviolent crimes or misdemeanors in county jails across the state costs billions of dollars.
And she says Senate Democrats are open to tweaks in the laws if necessary, once they have time to fully take effect. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Alan, this week, let's talk about the horrifying attack at a rabbi's home in Muncie, New York, in Rockland County, where a man with a machete-sized knife stabbed five people at a Hanukkah celebration. Since then, police have uncovered anti-Semitic messages, search for Hitler on a computer from the alleged perpetrator, Grafton Thomas. And we know that there have been a spate of anti-Semitic acts in New York over the last few weeks, and the rise of anti-Semitism in general is up around New York and the country. It prompted, with this particular attack, the governor to call for a domestic terrorism law.
I'm an American Jew, of course. I'm proud of my religion, as everybody is proud of theirs, or many people are. And yet, David, I have to say that this is scary stuff. When people do terrible things, kill people or threaten them, you look at the situation and you say something really has to be done. Of course, when you have a president who sows division, it gets down to the people who are allegedly, and I say allegedly because we don't know, mentally ill. And then the excuse becomes they're mentally ill. They can do anything they want. They can kill people. They can do this. They can do that. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable on a number of levels. I will say that the governor of New York has distinguished himself and has said all the right things. And the mayor of New York City has also been right where they should be. They know that they have a large Jewish community in New York, I believe second to Israel. And we know that we have a very explosive and terrible situation here. And we've got to figure out what it is that's causing it and how to stop it. On the issue of mental illness, I'm getting a good deal of mail from mental health providers who are saying what we have to avoid here is giving the impression that mentally ill people are all basically criminal or capable of doing this kind of thing. They are not. And this is something that we have to take a careful look at also.
Well, from the Department of Hoisting Yourself on Your Own Petard, we have spoken with the Assembly Minority Leader for years, Brian Cole from Canandaigua. He has been charged with DWI after a crash. No one was in the car. No one was injured. He drove into a ditch in Victor, New York. And he had written just the week before a newspaper column warning people against just that, the dangers of drinking and driving during the holiday season. Republican Assemblyman Kiernan Michael Lehler, soon after Kolb's statement, said he should resign. The list is long of legislators who have done just these kinds of things.
David, addiction, alcohol addiction is a terrible thing, and we know it. You know, I'm not a drinker, and I'm not so pompous that I should tell anybody what to do. But I can tell you, if you drink and you drive, you have created a situation which can only end badly. You can only think about it that way. People think they can't. They can get in a car, they can drink, sometimes to excess. They can drive, they'll get home. Well, you can see what happens here. You know, I know Brian Kolb. I've certainly interviewed him any number of times, and I like him. And I like a lot of people who have problems. I like smokers. I like others. But in the end, you got to know what's right, and you got to be very, very careful about what you do. And if you drink and you drive, the consequences can be horrendous.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. A state senator from New York's Hudson Valley has introduced a bill to codify the state's fracking ban. The legislation would also ban a form of waterless fracking. A number of environmental advocates are supporting the bill, as the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn reports.
State Senator Jen Metzger announced her bill December 17th, marking the five-year anniversary of New York's fracking ban. Governor Andrew Cuomo and state health officials announced the ban in 2014, following years of study and debate.
The legislation also bans gelled propane hydraulic fracturing, which the fossil fuel industry has been pushing as an alternative to the use of water, but which is just as bad and carries the additional risk of being explosive.
She says the bill furthers the goals of the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act signed this year, shifting toward a clean energy economy that does not depend on fossil fuels. Fellow Democratic State Senator Liz Krueger is co-prime sponsor of the bill and helped lead the way to the legislature's passage of a moratorium on fracking in 2011.
This is such an important next step in our work to protect New Yorkers, and I believe the country, from fracked gas.
Karen Moreau is executive director of the American Petroleum Institute, New York. In an emailed statement, she says, quote, "Hydraulic fracturing continues to bring massive benefits to both the U.S. and global economies, while improved technologies have made it safer than ever. New York already benefits from abundant, clean, and reliable natural gas produced by our neighbors in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, and it's a shame that New Yorkers aren't able to tap into those same resources and economic opportunities," end quote. Metzger represents the 42nd District, which includes all of Sullivan County and parts of Delaware, Orange, and Ulster counties.
I want to note that a significant portion of my state Senate district is underlaid by Utica and Marcellus shale deposits, including parts of Ulster, Sullivan, and Delaware counties. And I'm concerned to protect the health and well-being of the communities I represent in these counties as well as elsewhere in New York.
Dr. Kathy Nolan is a member of the steering committees of both Concerned Health Professionals of New York and the New York Chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility. The outgoing Ulster County legislator says codifying the ban would protect human health and help address climate change.
Banning fracking protects residents from multiple conditions, including increases in asthma and other respiratory illnesses, cardiovascular disease, preterm births, low birth weight infants, and possibly also from cancers, congenital birth defects, and severe neurologic conditions.
She says it is essential that gelled propane fracking also be banned by law, as it too poses adverse environmental and health impacts. Actor, director, and advocate Mark Ruffalo says New York's future includes clean energy, not fracking.
New York's future is wind, solar, geothermal, energy efficiency, heat pumps, electric cars, agriculture, beer, wine, technology, and recreation. These all create jobs while protecting the environment and public health.
Singer-songwriter Natalie Merchant has long advocated against fracking.
The scientific evidence was clear and conclusive in 2014, and the arguments against fracking have only grown stronger since. New York needs to pursue a path to a post-fossil fuel future, and this bill will help to continue moving us toward that goal. So let's ban fracking now and forever.
By way of disclosure, Merchant has performed benefit concerts for WAMC in the past. Roger Downs is conservation director for the Sierra Club Atlantic chapter.
We have seen the Trump administration over the past 2 years rescind nearly 85 rules and regulations pertaining to environmental protection, safeguards that were based upon previous presidential or agency action, but not enshrined in law. It is a stark reminder to all New Yorkers that we should codify all our own recent environmental commitments while there is general political agreement between the legislature and the governor.
So far, there is no assembly sponsor. Metzger and Krueger are confident there will be plenty of support in both houses.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
It's an event that began four decades ago and draws over 2,500 young athletes to the Olympic region in northern New York. The Empire State Winter Games runs from January 30th until February 2nd. The regional event offers many traditional sports, but is also hoping a new competition will become an Olympic sport. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley with a preview.
Athletes of all ages from 15 states and 3 countries will gather in Lake Placid at the end of January for the Empire State Winter Games. The athletes compete in more than 30 winter sports, including figure skating, hockey, and ski jumping. Games Executive Director Molly Mayer says the event continues the Olympic tradition and legacy of the region.
Getting kids to come out and participate in these winter Olympic-style sports is really what we're all about, and just continuing the innovation that the Olympics has and mirroring what was happening in 1980 is kind of our goal. And I'm going to steal the words of Olympian Andrew Weibrecht. There's no other place that these kids, these athletes, can feel the Olympic experience other than the Olympics themselves, and the Empire State Winter Games. This is kind of the closest that they get to that feeling.
Lake Placid Mayor Craig Randall says the village often hosts international competitions, which bring athletes and their coaches. But the Empire State Winter Games are unique in drawing youth athletes and their families to the region.
This actually brings families here. Many of our international events do not have significant spectator following. You know, the teams are here, but, you know, those are made for TV type events. But what you don't see is huge crowds of people on our street. Empire State Winter Games attracts an audience. It attracts the families of the athletes because they are local and they are coming from nearby communities around New York State for the most part. It also keeps promoting Lake Placid in terms of the fact that we are a destination and we're pretty much a year-round destination.
Games officials emphasize that the events are regional, with venues in Lake Placid, Wilmington, Saranac Lake, Tupper Lake, Malone, and Paul Smith's. Tupper Lake hosts hockey competition at the Civic Center. Mayor Paul Maroon says their participation has spurred expansion in the village.
It is exciting to be part of this Tri-Lakes group that they are really trying to combine into the Empire State Winter Games. And that spurred the Civic Center in Tupper Lake to put an addition on last year with brand new showers and a brand new observatory room that's actually heated off the ice. And it draws families to Tupper Lake. And hopefully in the future we may have some other events like some cross-country events. So they have made it regional. It does bring people into Tupper Lake area.
During the upcoming games, Mayor says they will debut a new category of winter sport.
We're helping debut a second category of adaptive bobsled. And it's going to be a push start category for adaptive bobsled. And, you know, it's really growing out of the USA veteran population that is attached to sports and winter sports. The goal is that the second category, this push start for adaptive bobsled, be taken into the Olympics. And it hasn't been accepted for the upcoming Winter Olympics, but we're using events like the Empire State Winter Games up here in Lake Placid to test it out and prove a concept to make it into the Olympics.
Two torch relays begin 5 days in advance of the games in Buffalo and Manhattan and will make stops in the hometowns of participating athletes before converging in Lake Placid to light the Empire State Winter Games cauldron during the opening ceremonies.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Back with us on the Legislative Gazette this week is Dr. Lynn Porodnik. She's a medical marijuana doctor in New York State. One of the key issues that we've been talking about is vaping. And it's not only vaping of THC, but also e-cigarettes and what is an epidemic now of young people, especially teenagers, vaping. So we've been learning some things. We've been seeing some changes as a result of what we're finding out. And that's why we bring you on the program. First, welcome, Dr. Porodnik.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
Great to have you back with us to keep us informed on what is a very important health topic these days. So what are we learning now as we go forward when it comes to the issue of vaping?
Well, it seems that the carriers, the oils, seem to be the culprit. There's really been no further look at the metal compounds that are being emitted from the vaping batteries, that is, the metal instruments that are used to heat the oils. They're basically manufactured in one town in China, and there's no regulation there. So that component has kind of been put on the back burner. I really haven't seen much mentioned of it lately. But vitamin E acetate keeps popping up. Last Wednesday, there was a study done by NIDA, N-I-D-A, and basically confirming what we've known, that the incidence of vaping has really increased with teens, high school, middle school. And it's also the quantities that are used. It's not just vaping THC or nicotine. It's that these kids all day are vaping, where model, a patient will take two hits and wait 10 minutes, two more hits if they need it, and that's it to alleviate their symptoms. Kids tend to draw on it all day, so 12 to 18 hits instead of four. So we still really don't know how lungs get injured using these oils, and that really, really has to be determined to see if we're going to continue. Massachusetts has now released vapes back into the medical market. They had withdrawn them during the whole vaping incident. They had closed vape shops down, and I know there's a lot of worry about how these little businesses will survive this.
Well, we also have what has become somewhat of an insidious part of all this, which is the counterfeiters. So they get the packaging, they get what looks like a very legitimate vape pen and filled with what seems to be medical grade. So, for example, TKO and Dank Vapes. Some of these brands that they're discovering are the primary brands where they're seeing problems with young people and others getting in sick, and in some cases, death.
Absolutely. There are a number of them, Kingpen, Smart Cart, all these products, they're using packaging from China that's ordered online and delivered, and they look very similar to what the real products look like, and kids don't really sit and vet their products. They buy them from a friend in the bathroom, a friend at the deli, a friend of a friend, or somebody's my guy who's a drug dealer. So really, we're confusing medical marijuana, recreational marijuana under state surveillance versus street stuff. You get what you pay for.
Dr. Lynn Porodnik joins us to talk about all the issues surrounding the legalization of marijuana. Lynn, thanks as always. Have a wonderful and happy new year.
Ah, my pleasure, and wishing everybody happy, healthy, and prosperous new year.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 2001. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time. For more news on New York State government and politics, for the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Giustina.